Welcome to the podcast of Troy Brewer, a guitar playing, globe trotting, book writing, Bible thumping, star watching, radio TV hosting, church leading, Alamo saluting Texan, and drop dead sold out Jesus freak.
Well, guys, I have a special guest who's going to be joining me here today, and he is known all over the world through his daily television show on the PTL network. This brother went and spent a day with me in Mexico yesterday visiting all of our rescued kids. And this guy is something else. We have a lot to talk about. Guys, this is Mondo de la Vega. Let's give it up, guys. Hello. Come on, Brother Mondo.
Wow.
Come on.
Thank you. It is an honor.
Man, I'm so happy, man. I imagine you're a little bit worn out. So, you know, you've done the two services. Now you're in the third.
You know, having twins prepares you.
Yes, it does. Yes,
no, I was
it
just
does.
Telling somebody in the back, I used to go and tour and speak, and I used to speak six times a day, every day. And so three, it's breaking me in, and I like it, but I don't want to do it every Sunday.
Yeah, no, you don't want to. No, so yeah, so you do. You still even have a big schedule, and I mean, there's a lot going on within your world. It was a really big deal, bro, for you to take off and come down and hang out with me yesterday. We went down there and crossed the border, and bro, can you just kind of tell me what is your impact from it? What was it that impacted you? What did you see, and what do you think about the whole thing?
Wow, it's a loaded question. Listen, my day, every day is a busy day. We have to film a television program that airs nationally, and then I produce my own program, and then I executive produce four other programs throughout the day. Throughout the week, throughout the month, and keeping up with serving my everyday thing, being a husband, being a father, yet never stop loving hurting people. Always making time to keep your heart, your ears, your eyes to the heart of Jesus.
And you guys do that. I saw
every day.
It. I saw it firsthand.
Now don't get him. Don't mix ministry work and church work with helping people. Meaning the administrative things sometimes gets blurry, thinking that you're doing God a service, yet that's not what the gospel is about. It's spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel, bringing voices that are making a difference to help us understand and how to reason and how to translate what we're going through and what we're seeing take place in our culture today. But don't get it twisted with helping people, because kids can care less about what you do. They're not interested in people loving you, hating you. They just want to know, are you there for me? Where? When they need you. So for me to step out and to invite myself was unusual, because I don't do this. I don't invite myself.
Well, I told you to invite yourself, though. I told you, bro, whenever you are able to do it.
You did?
You come go with me. You just need to call me and tell me when.
And you know, so, when people tell you that,
I told you that,
you usually don't take up on that because you say, well, I don't want to be intrusive. I don't want to, you know, because people tell me that all the time. Yet when you cash in on their words, I was like, ooh, I didn't know you were going to come back and really follow through on that. It's because one thing is when I go and visit you, another thing is you're coming into my everyday life, and now I have to pretend I like you or pretend that.
That was tough for me, by the way. I struggled.
You understand what I'm saying? So you have to be on for people. And you have to understand, I don't want to sound bougie, but my temperament doesn't allow me to be on with people constantly. It wears me out to take people out and be around them. It has to be something that I really want to invest in to be able to go there and get something out of it. Not financial, no, something emotionally, personally that I can get out of it, right? I'm around people constantly. People always wanting something. People always have an agenda behind it. Yet, I had a dream before I even contacted you that I was here. And I was like, how can this be, God? Because I'm not asking to go preach or speak or anything. Yet, why am I seeing myself at Open Door Experience Church? The last time I traveled was last year at Chuck Pierce's conference. Now, you got to understand, I used to travel all over the world. 11 months out of the year, I was gone. Speaking tours and sharing my testimony from Gangs to Grace and being invited to secular. Very few churches wanted me, but the secular world wanted me. They wanted to know, how did this God change this gang member? Right? So the church was not even, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that maybe I wasn't ready for the church at that time. But the secular world wanted to know, why did this ex-gang member got changed by believing in God? I found myself, and I'm going somewhere with this, to why it meant so much. Divine appointments. I used to just take off. Now, is God willing, I go. Asking permission from, I know it sounds bizarre, but you can't do things on your own, expect God to show up, when if that's not God's plan for you, you're going left and he wants you to stay put. You want to go change the world, yet God says, not yet. I remember picking up T.D. Jakes when I was a young evangelist working and serving at the Dream Center. And maybe I should have never said his name. But I was a driver for the Dream Center, picking up the guests and all that. And he said some of the most powerful words that I still remember till this day. He said, young man, I can feel and I can sense the call of God in your life. But I want you to remember this. Just because you're called doesn't mean that you're ready for your call. Wait on God. You'll get it. You'll process it when you get home. Because you have to understand, the most cruel thing that God does to you is that he calls you and then makes you wait.
Oh, okay, wait. Now look here.
I know I'm going over the.
Yeah, no, it's going to take you 45 minutes to answer one question. And you've already, stop. That's really good.
The first service and second service, you're missing out.
Before you answer the question, I'm sure you'll get to that 64 minutes from now. But his third service is different now.
So, I love it.
But honestly, no, this is what you're here for. I want to hear all this. But this thing, we actually talked about this on the plane coming back yesterday, because I had it prophesied to me when I was in my 20s that all this stuff was going to happen, but it wasn't going to happen until I was 50. And it was true. It was absolutely true. And we're actually discussing that, like, why would the Lord make you wait? Because God couldn't trust me in my 20s and 30s and 40s with what he's trusting me with now. If he could have trusted me with it, he would have given it to me then, but he waited until I was 50. And I get too mad, honestly. This is the calm version of me now, man. And I'm calm and cultured now. And I'm just too passionate.
I feel weird. You know? You're not being,
so, yeah, man. Honestly, man.
No,
so,
this is good.
So, and then T.D. Jakes, he told you, repeat that again. He said, hey, I sense the calling of God upon your life.
I sense an anointing, but just because you're called doesn't mean you're ready for your call yet. Mm-hmm. Wait on God.
Wait on God.
Because the biggest mistake we have made in the church, and I can talk about the church because I've been a part of the church for 26 years. I've seen some things. I've been around great leaders. I've been mentored. The only reason an ex-gang member like myself has made it this far is through discipleship and mentorship from great leaders like R.T. Kendall. How in the world did R.T. Kendall end up being a mentor of this gang member?
Crazy.
Rick Joyner, another mentor. Tommy Barnett, another great mentor.
Wow.
Jim Baker, of course, and the lineage, Bob Jones. I mean, great prophets. I mean, people that I never thought I made it this far, because I needed to understand that God needed to process some things in my life. Now, the biggest mistake we make in church with people like me that have a great testimony is that we put them out and we put them on stage. We want you to share 5 minutes of what God has done. So I master 5 minutes that got me 10 years of speaking engagements. Every stage, mega arenas, interviews all over the world. Yet my first 2 years as a Christian, I was making some vital mistakes that would have ended my calling, that would have ended my career as a speaker. And I didn't realize it, Pastor Troy, but I got ahead of myself because they prostituted me. It's a strong word, but the church has learned how to put us out there, yet we never had a covering. This, we get enamored by miracles. My message to you, don't fall in love with miracles, because the Antichrist is going to do great miracles and is going to fool many. But we are in love with miracles. We are in love with testimonies, but we don't like the process. Yet God in his divine mercy, he loves us. He loved me so much. Here I am traveling all over the world. Stages that I never imagined amongst men and women of God that has changed and moved the needle in Christianity. And I found myself in Denmark, out of all places, getting ready to sign a big contract for television and films and book deals and all this crazy stuff that happened to me fast. I mean, it was coming like a flood. Favor. Now, you got to understand, God's favor will always open the door for you. Now, wisdom and understanding the timing of it is different. Because just like you said, if God would have gave you this ministry when you're in your 20s, you would have crashed and burned. You didn't have the experience. And here I am, God has given me favor with dignitaries and production companies and branding. And before social media was even social media, and the name was getting out there, my story was getting out there, the mentorship was getting out there. And all of a sudden, I found myself talking about God, yet never really having an experience with God. Here I was laying hands on people, but I never knew him. And God in his divine mercy rebuked me. And in the middle of that meeting, I learned. Now, one thing I did learn was to hear from God. When it's chaotic and busy, you know the voice. My sheep know my voice. And when I felt that intuition and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, I told the business people, I said, I'll sign in the morning. I said, God is speaking to me. Now, this is secular people I'm dealing with. Because remember, the church was not inviting me because my message was too radical back then, you know. But the world wanted to know about God. And I said, man, God is speaking to me. I'm going to have my next phrase for the next conference. I'm going to be a world shaker, a history maker. You ever heard of those terms? I'm going to be a mover. I'm going to be the greatest. If you want God to speak to you, read the word. Stop looking for the prophets. The prophets, the best thing they can do is reaffirm what God has already spoken through his word. Now, I believe in personal word and direction. Believe me, that's a divine appointment. But when you want to hear God's voice, go to the word. The word, the word, the word. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the last one you're not going to like, obedience, obedience, obedience. So I walked up to the penthouse that they put me on in Scandinavia. And I opened up the book. And it changed my life. Because God rebuked me in a way that I never thought it was possible. Whom he loves, the Bible says, he chastises. He corrects. Listen, if you don't want to get invited, come to my seminar. I'll teach you how not to get invited back.
No. Oh, we're taking notes right taking now, man. Notes. We're all taking notes.
But Matthew chapter 7 changed my life because it talks about here you're prophesying in my name. Now, it's true prophecy. Here you're doing great things for God. In the Greek, it's dunamis, meaning is where we get our word dynamite. Here I am doing dynamite things for God, building a dynamite ministry, dynamite message, doing dynamite things, casting out devils in dynamite events and doing dynamite things. Yet, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And I said, wait a minute. He knows every hair in our body. He knows who we are. What do you mean he never knew us? So I went to the scripture, and I went to study, and I grabbed the original text in the Greek. And the word known is the same word that Mary used. So I searched it out. And he was talking about an intimate relationship. I never knew you intimately. I never had an intimate relationship. I never knew you depart from me. I knew at that moment that I needed to go home and get to know him intimately.
In other words, you're employed for me, but I'm not married to you.
That's it.
So it's one thing, you know, to go, hey, man, I've been in your service for a long time. Yeah, you've been a good employee, but this is for family. And you've rejected me as family. You've rejected me as your as my bride. And you settled and you thought I'd be okay with your service. Dude, I got angels to serve me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I chose you as my bride.
And I got to tell you something. There's many of you in this room and many of you watching. You know how to pray. You know how to worship. You know how to sing. You know how to preach. You know how to deliver a sermon. You know how to do outreach, and all those are fantastic, and those are all dynamite things we can do for God. But the most scary thing is when he says, I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship with you. Here I am traveling all over the world, laying hands on people, and they were being set free. Here I was traveling all over the world, telling God about my experience with God, yet I never knew him intimately. The greatest thing that God ever did for me was to stop me before I aborted my mission. To experience an intimacy with him that was going to allow me to fulfill what I'm doing today. God told me that night in Scandinavia, you can keep what you have now, but it's not going to last long. The picture taking and all this, the invites and all that is going to fade away. Or you can go home and get to know me, and I will use you later in your life. Are you obedient to trust me? I said, yes, sir. I called my, you know, the people back home, and I said, cancel everything that I have planned. I'm no longer going to travel. I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to study. Now, you got to understand, in my process of thinking, I thought this was going to be a three-month sabbatical. 20 years later, you have to learn how to serve before you get placed in a position of leadership. We want things now. I've never seen the church so desperate to be in front now, yet they've never experienced him privately. When there's no applause, when there's no cameras, when you feel like, God, you mock me. And I began to serve under Pastor Jim Baker's ministry and serve him. And I'm getting invitations all over by association some, others because they've heard me, others wanted to know. And Pastor Jim said, you're not ready to go, kid. I remember one morning, he said, get ready, we're going to go to a meeting, and you're going to join me, and there's going to be a round table full of prophets, and I want you to join me. I said, what time are we leaving? Oh, 8 a.m. I was ready, 7:59. Come on, somebody. I had my best suit, my best shoes. I got everything. I even had a briefcase with nothing in it. And I'm walking in. This is for somebody. Listen to me. And I drive Pastor Jim to this meeting, and I'm getting excited. And man, God, you're bringing me back, and you're going to connect me, and you're going to da-da-da-da, and we're going to work the room, and da-da-da-da-da. In our own ability. We get ready to walk in, and Pastor Jim grabs me by the shoulder and says, I want you to sit right here and wait for me. You told me I was... He says, you're not ready. He said, what we're about to discuss in that room, if I allow you to go in there and listen to what is going to be discussed, is going to ruin you. You're not ready. You're not mature. I want you to sit here and wait for me. Now, you got to understand, this is late 90s, 1999. There was no cell phones, meaning there was no Facebook, no Instagram. So, okay, no problem. I can do selfies. Okay, check what Pastor Troy is doing. Go live. Hey, everybody, I'm over here. You know, I'm doing great things. I'm outside the prophet's chambers and da-da. None of that. I sat there with a broken heart. And I started crying. I said, God, you mock me. I'm a laughing stock. You forgot about me, God. Why do you call me and then make me wait, God? It's like God staying silent. But I had to learn that God has to deal with our egos. You got to understand, when you're on television every day, you people give us egos. You people put us up on a pedestal in your own mind that we have to live up to your standards, your values, your expectations. So when we make a mistake, we fall not because what we did, we fall from your pedestal, your expectation, yet maybe God had a plan. But the church has been known to be the first cancel culture in the church where we cancel the pastors because they fall instead of restoring. Yet, God said, if I'm going to use you, I have to break you. Because where I'm going to take you, you're going to have no ego, because it's not about you. It's about me. It's about my message, my kingdom, my anointing. I just happen to choose you. But if you're not ready for the call, get out of the way. I'm going to find somebody that is mature enough to understand who I am. And I say, how do you do that, God? You serve. Learn to serve. Because every time you serve, a piece of your ego dies. A piece of you. It's all about you. We are in a dangerous culture moment right now that everything is about you. We are in the second, I believe. We are in the 2 Timothy chapter 3 generation that is all about you, all about you, all about you. Yet the church has to understand it's about him. If you want to know why I felt a connection with Pastor Troy, it's because when I recognize verbiage and linguistics and language, and as a man thinketh, so is he. But when he said, King Jesus, wait a minute, there's something different about him. He has understood the gospel in a different way, because no one talks like that unless they've been with him, unless they've been intimate with him, unless they know him and the suffering. I said, wait a minute. Say that again. In every other sentence, King Jesus, King Jesus, King Jesus. And I recognize that because I had to learn that when you worship a king, Shut me up if you need to, but I'm going somewhere with this.
You're way past that, man. Weird. Hey, did you go to Mexico?
Okay. No, listen, yeah, but going to this.
You're worse than me. Do you know that? Honestly, man, no, I want you to go off. I'll have you back and we'll have an actual conversation sometime. But until that happens, you're welcome. I mean, no, I want to hear what you have to say.
I'll end it with this because I'm going to end it where you started. Because words matter. So when I recognized the words that he was speaking, I learned that the kingdom of God had colonized him. Yes. Now you got to understand the reason why American church culture doesn't understand kingdom principles, kingdom principles is because here in America, we're a democracy in a republic. We don't understand kingdom talk. So when Great Britain colonized, and I'm going to put as an example, was colonizing islands, and I'm going to use the Bahamas for example. When Great Britain was colonizing the Bahamas, they had to create a society and a culture, because a culture produces standards, values. Listen to me. Standards, values, morals, faith, language. The first thing that Great Britain had to destroy from the Bahamas Islands, from the Bahamian people, was their language. Because if you can change their language, you can now colonize them with their values, their standards, their morals. You understand? So I knew that your speech was different. And that the kingdom of heaven had colonized you and changed your speech. So when you go back to the same inner circle that you came from and they don't understand what you're talking about, it's because you're speaking a different language. What is the first thing the Holy Spirit did in the upper room? He changed their language. He had to destroy the old language and colonize it with the new language in order to change their values, their morals, their faith. You understand what I'm saying? So what happened yesterday, I saw the kingdom of heaven literally come down to earth to Acuña, Mexico, and change the language, the love language of these little boys and girls. The love language that they understood was sexualized. The love language that they knew was a beating. The love language that they knew is that they had to be passed around. That was their love language. They didn't recognize anything outside of that. But when the kingdom of heaven colonized, it changed their language. It changed their morals. It changed their values. It changed their standard of living. That's why Martha went from looking how she did to now having morals, having a different language, Papa Troy. You understand what I'm saying? So I understood that if we were going to change the world in the church, we have to learn the language. We had to change the language that we're speaking. You got to begin to prophesy instead of dooming yourself. You got to begin to speak in tongues because that's kingdom language. They know you by the way you speak. It's what separates us. So yesterday was a love language like none other. It was heaven's language. It was love language. These little boys and girls, they didn't know anything but love. And I'm sitting there, is how can these little boys and girls that had been traumatized speak the love of language and hug you, hug me, smile. They cheer for pizza. They cheer for us to come in there. They dance for us. They parade. I mean, they did everything. That's the power when you change language. So my answer is, I got to witness a piece of heaven. And if you want a piece of heaven, you move earth to get there. If you haven't been in this type of trips, You got to do whatever it takes to be a part. It's going to change your life. You know what it did? You get out of your own mess to be in someone else's mess so God can give you a message.